1967.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes. I'm not a criminal.
Youth Advocate Programs is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital, because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Bottom of the eighth inning, Mekhi Negrete back on the mound for the Rafters. So far, he's gone two innings, 22 pitches, and three strikeouts. He's allowed three hits and a run. So leading off for the Mallards, Noah Sudica, who's 0-2. Batting a 233 as Negrete fires in on a fastball, sweeps to low of the zone for a ball, 1-0. So Rafters lead 4-1. A run came from Addison in the bottom of the seventh. The 1-0 and a swing and a line drive that just drifts away near the grandstands, fouled off right side. 1-1. Rafters have out hit the Mallards 10-5. So Mekhi Negrete in Oceanside, California, looking to go his third inning and hopefully retire the side. He'll fire the 1-1 and finds the zone on a changeup at 81. 1-2. So one ball, two strikes. Negrete nearing his fourth strikeout. He's square with his shoulders. The long stare, the fire, and a swing and a miss. Mekhi Negrete records his fourth strikeout. Sudica goes down. And one out. This brings up Jaden Lobliner, who's had no hits on two at-bats. He struck out as well. He popped out to short, struck out looking. So Negrete, 26 pitches, four strikeouts, and a swing and a miss once again on a fastball, 85-0-1. So Lobliner batting in the nine hole, the catcher. You'll see the 0-1. This is right down the plate. Negrete wheeling and dealing. That was a curve at 81. 0-2. Really finding the zone. Looking for strikeout number five. Entering his 29th pitch, he'll set and serve. The 0-2 in a swing and a weak ground ball over to Hanson at short. Has all the time in the world and fires it over to first. So Broussard able to make the put out. Hanson with the assist. And two down, we return to the top of the order. Jake Holcroft, who's 0-3. He grounded out to the pitcher, grounded out to first, and flew out to left. A guy that's sixth in the league in batting average at a .349. He has 45 hits on the season, 19 RBIs. But the Rafters have found an answer to him today. So two down, Negrete fires. And a ball sweeps lower the zone on a curveball at 81 on the left edge. 1-0. Rafters looking for a three-up and three-down inning. And a 1-0 right down the plate at a fastball, 87. 1-1 count. Negrete working quickly. He'll shake it off once more. The set. The 1-1 to Holcroft. And up and high out of the zone. 2-1. So Jake Holcroft out of University of Portland plays in the West Coast Conference for the Pilots as he dings one off. Left side fouled away. 2-2. The Rafters have only allowed five hits and a run. They've done well on the defensive side. The 2-2 and a ground ball that pulls away first baseline. staying alive in this count is Holcroft in the top of the order. So deuces run across the board. Two gone for the Raptors. 2-2 and a curveball just low at 83-2. Three balls, two strikes, two down. The count runs full. Negrete will come set. He'll kick, wind, and serve. Swing and a miss inside. Strike three. Negrete up to five strikeouts. Retires the side. We head to the top of the ninth. Raptors lead 4-1 here on WFHR.
You have been listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Air conditioner not running? Make a call to the bullpen for the experts at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. We'll work quickly and efficiently to get your AC back up and running. As a Bryant Factory authorized dealer, our team will do whatever it takes to repair the problem quickly and efficiently. We'll get your system out of its slump and back in the game.
Need a repair? Schedule it now at comfortair.biz. That's comfortaire.biz.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning as Andres Klinsek will appear for the second time in 2 days on the mound for the Mallards. He pitched yesterday against the Raptors. He went an inning, allowed a hit, and that was about that on three batters faced. So he's had four games appeared in total with an 0-1 record, 5 2/3 innings of work. He's allowed four hits, a run, and a strikeout for 1.59 ERA. So the rising sophomore from Madison College will face Anthony Gallison. He's a native of Verona, Wisconsin. So the right-hander down on the count, 1-0. Gallison 1-for-4 today with a strikeout as he skies it out right side. First baseman Goolsby watches it turn to go to the grandstand. One ball, one strike. Anthony Gallison, last time up, was able to get a double in the left field. He's popped out, flown out, and struck out. So had a little bit of everything today. 1-1 count. Rafters have out hit the Mallards 10-5 as he swings and hits a high fly ball that's trailing into right field, and Tucker makes an easy catch for one down. So David Rivera, the DH, batting third in the order, 0-for-3 with a run. He drew a walk and has a strikeout as well. Andres Klinsek has retired one batter. Yesterday, he did all right. And only three batters, but he allowed a hit. 1-0 count with one down. Klinsek will fire as a swing and a line drive from Rivera into right field, and a base hit for David Rivera, his first time. He's got a hit today. And that puts everybody in the batting order for the Raptors with at least a hit. So Rivera was the last one to do so, and he comes up here big in the ninth. So Brendan Bobo, who grounded out to the pitcher, a one-run RBI double second time up. He's 1-for-4. His last two times at the plate, he flew out to center and grounded out to first. Bobo from Cal State Fullerton, currently in the transfer portal right now. Definitely a guy to pick up if you're a collegiate coach. He's got a lot of power to him. Great player. So one down. Rivera stands at first. Kleinsek will look in. Rafters up to 11 hits now. A swing and a miss for Bobo. 0-1. An 0-1 count with one out. Bobo, the left-hander. We'll see the 0-1. He hits a high fly ball out behind the left field side out of play. 0-2. So Kleinsek on his fifth batter in total against the Rafters. Hasn't struck out one yet. Well, he's nearing that right now. The ball behind his back. The second Madison College guy we've seen today. The first one was Nick West, who started off. He was a starter, went four innings and two strikeouts. Has a ground ball over to first at to Goolsby. The throw to second before Rivera can get there. So a double play. As that is the third out, we head to the bottom of the ninth. The Raptors have three more outs in them. And we'll sweep the Mallards to get back to 500 in the second half. Find out next here on WFHR.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over. And that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers. But there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on WisCountry 105.5.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
Bottom of the ninth inning, Canyon Brown, who's down in the count 0-1 right now. Negrete still on the mound. He's got five strikeouts in 37 pitches. The 0-1 and a check swing inside. And a breaking ball at 82, and he comes across. 0-2. So Brown, the DH, he's 1-for-3 with a strikeout. Bats a 291. Rafters looking just to get three more outs to take down Madison, sweep this series, and get back to 500. And the 0-2, and a ball drifted out away. 0-2 count. No balls, two strikes. Madison to five hits. Their only run has come in the seventh, and a swing and a bouncer over to Conniff at second. Runs to his left, fields it up in the glove, and the throw to first is right on time. So an easy out there for the Rafters, are two away. As Chris Conniff with the assist. And Ryan Sprock, who has been a bright spot for Madison, responsible of two of their five hits today. He's 2-for-2 with a run. He also drew a walk as well. So Mekhi Negrete will step in and serve the first offering and right down the plate on an 81-mile-per-hour breaking ball. 0-1 count. One down. Negrete fires. Lower the zone on a ball. One ball, one strike. Negrete will come set once more. He's at five strikeouts, allowed three hits and a run. And the 1-1 low. Four ball, two balls and a strike. Rafters got a run in the top of the second, a run in the third, two runs in the fifth. And then Madison responded with a run of their own in the seventh. But if Wisconsin Rapids can take down Madison, a 3-1 and a swing and a line drive that drops before Bobo can get to it in right field. And a base hit for Ryan Sprock. He goes 3-for-3 today. He's been perfect at the plate. Isaiah Jackson, who's 0-for-3 with his strikeout. If the Raptors can hold on to this lead, they would have been out-hit. They would have scored 17 runs in total against Madison here at Warner Park. A swing and a ball lifted in the air into center field. Backtracking and making the catch is Sailors. And that's two down, one away. And Madison, in the three games, the Raptors would have outscored Madison 17-4 here at Warner Park. Looking to extend the season series 5-3. They lead it 4-3, so perhaps the final batter of the night, Cal Fisher, who's 0-for-3. He grounded out to third, popped out to first, and he also popped out to short. At first is Sprock, and the first delivery up and away, 1-0. So Cal Fisher, 10 hits in total this season with 12 RBIs. And the 1-0 up in high on a ball 2-0. 2-0 count. Rafters one away. A 2-0 and a swing and a line drive that drops before Sailors can attend to it. And it goes right up the middle into center field. So a base hit. So this puts the tying run at the plate with number 22, Jake Goolsby. And he's been good today, 2-for-3. So Goolsby, 2-for-3. He's got a base hit twice and he's grounded out to first. First offering from Negrete outside, but paints the left edge for a strike. No balls, a strike with two down. Sprock on second, Fisher on first. Second pitch at a fastball at 85, 1-1. One more out. That's what will propel the Raptors to victory here today. And the 1-1 and a swing and a line drive that just pulls away on the third baseline. One run gets home in Goolsby. The second, Fisher to third. And now a RBI double for Jake Goolsby. Ryan Sprock gets home. And now it's 4-2 with a tying run at second in scoring position. A liner in the left field, and Jackson Tucker, who's 1-for-3. Raptors just looking to close it out. All they need is one more out. Runners at second in third. Jackson Tucker with an RBI as well. One hit on three at-bats. Negrete will come set. He'll look, fire, and down low of the zone. 1-0. So the pressure is starting to build just a little for Wisconsin Rapids. They've blown a lead in the ninth before against Traverse City, but they won the game in extras. The 1-0. Negrete outside for a ball 2-0. Madison's second run this game. Sprock gets home, so Hogan Alixio, the catcher, having a word with his pitcher right on the mound as we speak, but yeah, how about that? Jake Goolsby, 3-for-4, a liner in the left field. And now, you look at it, just get the batter out. That's all you need to do. So, two balls, no strikes, one away on this great crowd, as always, here at Warner Park in Madison in the state capital. Mekhi Negrete will serve in the third pitch, and it goes in low. Haligso has to play goalie as he shifts to his left just to make that catch. And a 3-0 count. So Jackson Tucker, who was part of a 5-4-3 double play, he grounded out to short and then got a base hit. The 3-0 up and high, but just finds the right edge of the strike zone, 3-1. So Negrete needed to see that. Noah Sudica is on deck. The 3-1 inside for ball four. It goes in low, and now the bases become juiced. At first is Tucker. At second is Goolsby. And at third is Fisher. Noah Sudica, who's had no hits on three at-bats and a strikeout. He's flown out to center, flown out to right, and struck out swinging. Raptors lead 4-2. But the winning run at first, the tying run at second. Mekhi Negrete will have to set in and deliver. And gets ahead in the count on a fastball right down the plate. 0-1. So Noah Sudica, the second baseman. Could he be the hero for Madison? Can the Raptors retire him and take down Mallards? The 0-1 and a swing and a miss. Down low, 0-2. So way down in the count is Sudica. One more strike away. And the Raptors can put this game to bed. Bases loaded. For Madison, bottom of the ninth. They've already had a run, but Negrete standing on the first base side of the slab. He'll kick wide and serve down low as Haligso sees a ball that bounces in the dirt. 1-2. This is the biggest inning yet for Madison. They've already had three hits. One ball, two strikes. Negrete with the ball behind his back, he puts in his glove now. He'll set, and the 1-2, and a swing and a ground ball over to Hansen at short, and underhands it to Conniff at second, and that will do it. Wisconsin Rapids takes down Madison 4-2 as they sweep this series. Winners at home yesterday and winners today. They have not lost at Warner Park all season long. As they get back to 4-4, 500 in the second half. They started 1-4, a three-game winning streak. So this is big for the Raptors in their momentum and a big win for them. Guys that really stepped in and stepped up for the Raptors were guys like Garrett Broussard, who went 2-for-4 with two runs. Jorge Degatti, 2-for-4. Chris Conniff, 2-for-4 with an RBI. So just big all around, a big team effort on the offensive side and defensive side of the ball. The Raptors have out-hit the Mallards 11-8 today, and they take them down 4-2. A run in the top of the second, a run in the third, two runs in the fifth. Mallards scored a run in the seventh and one more in the ninth, but the Raptors able to shut them out in this series. So for them, they're going to have to quick turnaround. They have a doubleheader tomorrow at Witter Field at 11:35 is the first game, so an early one. Second game is slotted at 6:35. So for them, they're going to have to get back, get well-rested, because they have the Green Bay Rockers tomorrow for a doubleheader. That's the second of the year as far as two nine-inning games. They played the first back in Green Bay early in June where they went 1-1. They split that series, so just having one more doubleheader, which will be their last of the season as scheduled at Witter Field. So for everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Raptors for a win today and a big one. For everybody at the studio at WFHR, my name is Joey Fear saying so long from Madison. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow at Witter Field. Have a good night, everybody.
Disaster comes through. Yeah, you know, they're looking with their hand out to the federal government. So, you know, California, Pennsylvania, New York, you know, Michigan, all these states then kick in federal money that goes to these people who couldn't afford the insurance, but still got wiped out anyway. So DeSantis, again, not taking the money to help, you know, do anything on the climate front, has done virtually nothing here. Well, that's not true. Not true. He's not that he's done virtually nothing. He's done quite a bit taking insurance industry money to stop any kind of, you know, homeowner revolt, homeowners suing insurance companies when they don't pay. You know, it's money well spent. Now, the reason I brought up, you know, we are farmers, the reason I brought them up, They're leaving Florida. They are no longer going to write new policies or renew existing homeowner, auto, and umbrella policies. It's going to affect about 100,000 people in Florida. And, you know, the Florida guy who oversees the insurance, the chief financial officer, he ain't happy. And he says that he's going to hold them accountable. And you go, wait a second, as long as they live out the term of their contract, and you know they end it within the law and all that, there's nothing you can do. It's called capitalism. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a contract. You signed it. You paid for a certain amount of time. That's what happens. That's how the game is played. And what Farmer is saying is, look, you know, we're not losing money. And what I find interesting is, and I was thinking about this as, you know, my son and I are learning to ride motorcycles. You know, if my son were to have, you know, multiple accidents, with speeding tickets, you name it, whatever could possibly happen, he would still be able to get insurance. Now, it might cost a lot of money, but he'd still be able to get it, even if it's one of those bottom feeder companies. This is what I expect to see in Florida at some point. The sad reality is they're not doing much. They're not doing much to not help the water rise and put Florida underwater. And my mind went to this part where maybe DeSantis needs to build a wall. Maybe DeSantis needs to build a big wall all around Florida. Or maybe we just need to build one right at the top of Florida and go, you know what? We're writing this off. Because blue states have got to, at some point, get tired of funding disaster after disaster when they're not even taking care of themselves. And insurance companies are gonna leave in huge numbers, even though Florida is one of those states that has some of the most lax environments for insurance companies. In fact, you know, as this report that I was reading pointed out, that DeSantis signed a piece of legislation that took away the ability of homeowners to recover attorney's fees when they had to sue insurance companies. Because how did it go? It went something along the lines of, you know, these frivolous lawsuits, you know, increase the cost of doing business in Florida. We can't have that because we want to be business friendly. Now, the weird thing is, and this is the other interesting thing, all of this stuff happened under DeSantis's watch. So what is it that made it balloon? Is it that, you know, climate change is finally, you know, doing a lot of things? Insurance companies are wising up, because again, he was sworn in 2019, and it's been this kind of explosion in homeowner insurance rates on his watch. Now, as I said, you know, he signed this piece of legislation. And, you know, he's collected about $4 million in campaign donations from insurance companies. So you kind of got to wonder, should we give him the insurance badge on his NASCAR robe? Now, the weird thing is, for all of the talk about, and all of the talk from DeSantis about, you know, the Florida miracle and, you know, how we're, you know, the most, you know, the best economy state, I saw that Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, that whole area down there, their inflation rate right now is 9%. National average is 4%. They're at 9, more than double. And it's because of, you know, insurance, housing prices going through the roof, extraordinarily costly replacement costs when their houses get washed away. And this is one of those things where I keep coming back to. Did you not plan for this? Did you not know for the last 30 years that you're going to need more levies? Did you not know that you were going to maybe need, you know, some way of, I don't know, keeping the water out? And this is one of those moments where I go back to maybe we stop. Because remember, our capitalist friends, our free market friends, of which our Republican friends do not ascribe, they would say, you know, if you can't afford the insurance, you're SOL. You're out of luck, buddy. So why is it that we taxpayers across this country keep bailing these people out? And look, this is not a new argument. There are people, you know, much smarter than I am who've been going, why are we doing this? Why are we encouraging rich people to build near water And then when, surprisingly, there's a hurricane and, you know, a tornado, you know, there's all these disasters that we know are going to come.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad? Your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets, and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now, that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows around 57. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 72. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance for scattered thunderstorms, 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Get a bunch of stuff for a little bit cheaper on Prime Day over a couple days. And then the system, you know, fills up with all these orders. And, you know, people in the fulfillment centers and the sortation centers and the delivery stations all, you know, get flooded with a tremendous amount of work. Who are being exploited at an incredibly challenging situations. And I don't think that the average customer realizes that Amazon delivery driver that's showing up at the doorstep is actually, according to Amazon, is not an employee of Amazon, even though they have the uniform, they drive the vehicle, they're utilizing Amazon equipment, and the amount of control which Amazon exerts over those workers and that workforce is a little bit mind-blowing when they say they're not ours, but we want them to look like ours, and then not even paying them a decent wage in the industry. We found in Palmdale that the Amazon doesn't even reimburse the DSPs for holiday pay. They tell them, yeah, give them these holidays, just five of them, and then they don't give them the ability to pay for the holiday pay. And so the contractor's got to figure out how to pull that out if they want to pay holiday pay. So Amazon, you know, prides themselves on saying all this different stuff, and it's pretty crazy. Another interesting statistic is out of those 84 drivers and dispatchers, only two of them were taking the health care. All these workers are flying without health care.
Just
can't afford it. And when you're making less than $20 an hour to do a job that really should be paying somewhere in the high 20s, low 30s, even arguably in the high $30 an hour range, with very little benefits, you know, it's just an exploitive situation for some cheap stuff on Prime Day. What's the exchange? I think if the average person understood what the exchange was, they'd probably, you know, try to do something to help that workforce that's delivering to them.
Because I think everybody knows somebody who works in this industry. I know a couple of people who work at Amazon, and you know, we have conversations about you know, the environment, the wages, all of this stuff. And look, they all want to do better. They all want better wages, hours, conditions. But our labor laws are so badly broken and antiquated that, you know, nobody that I've talked to believes that they've got an opportunity. They've got a shot. Now, look, I do see a lot of worker action going on, and that's a positive. But I think I would love to see more.
Well, I think you're going to see more. You're seeing just that over the last couple of weeks, you've seen extension of pickets out of Southern California. The Palmdale Group has landed in other parts of California. It's landed in New Jersey. It's landed in Boston. It's landed in Connecticut. And, you know, I'm hearing that there's probably more to come. And, you know, it goes to show it. And then when what's incredible to watch, Rick, is these workers from Palmdale leading a picket line, you know, in another state or, you know, in another city. And when they're talking to volunteers or other workers in the industry and or the Amazon workers in a facility or the drivers that are delivering product, the comma carriers that are coming in and delivering, you're seeing them get off the truck and grab a sign and walk the line with them. And it's because these workers are very articulate. They are very passionate about their position. And they're getting other workers to join them in this direct action in the industry, which is much needed. It is something that we really need to do more of. More workers need to do more of. Rick, it is beautiful to watch, like Jesse, seeing him stand there and talk to 100 people that, you know, they're UPSers or they come from grocery or they come from other parts, you know, of the industry and, you know, and other Amazon workers, just explaining what they're fighting for, what they're doing, what they're trying to accomplish, and just seeing workers come together and say, we're going to join you in this and walking off the job is incredibly powerful to watch.
No, I mean, we're in an important moment. I mean, especially coming out of the pandemic, when, as I said to you earlier, you know, when these people were called heroes and essential and all of these things, and they got us through the pandemic only to find out that they're not making, you know, ends meet. They're not getting health insurance. Don't have health or retirement security. And the conditions that they labor under, deplorable. And in this day and age, it shouldn't be this way, especially when you're talking about a company as wildly profitable as Amazon.
Well, I think you're right. And I think one of the things you pointed out earlier is that the average person goes to work and sees the behemoth and the size in which Amazon is. And then they kind of start to think, well, it's impossible to take this on. But we see cities are rejecting them. We see, you know, municipalities are rejecting Amazon and their business model. We see workers are rejecting their business model. You know, obviously, you see all this activity and that this labor dispute that's happening coming out of 396 and Palmdale is directly at Amazon. It's not the subcontractor because Amazon really appears to be the employer here with the amount of control that they have.
Yeah.
And what's happening is these workers are starting to connect to others and they're starting to recognize, you know what, maybe we can do something about this. And, you know, Amazon wants it to, I guess, you know, corporate America and their beating down of the law that protects workers under the National Labor Relations Act. You know, the National Labor Relations Act, you and I have talked about this before, it didn't happen until workers themselves took direct action and kind of shut down and really took control of certain industries and parts of industries. And then the Wagner Act was a peace agreement to settle that down. And at the end of the day, we got to kind of get back there again because it doesn't appear as if any policymakers are going to help deal with this.
Yeah, there's no benevolence here. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Randy Corrigan. Randy's the Secretary, Treasurer, Principal Officer at Teamsters Local 1932. Teamsters1932.org is their website if you want to get any information on the work that they're doing, especially around Amazon. Because, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, I'm hearing this and I'm seeing some of this, you know, what I'm actually seeing is corporate America trying to push back on it because they know they've rigged the courts. They've rigged our politics. They've rigged the laws. Everything, see, the pendulum has swung to their side. The one thing they don't have is the empowerment piece of working people coming together. But I saw this sign, and I got to get your thought on this. And I saw this sign on the internet. It's supposedly the big giant M, the Golden Arch place. They're all over the place. Evidently, they posted a sign that said, we value you, your growth, your contributions. This is a no-quit restaurant because we feel that many situations can be resolved. It is the policy of this restaurant that an employee cannot quit until he or she talks to the restaurant manager or area supervisor. And I'm going, you know, the only power workers really have is to fold their arms and march their feet. And they now want to take part of that away, and they have taken it away in other places. I see this getting much worse, but I want to get your thought on this.
Look, man, I think what it does is it identifies the origins of corporate America's problem in the United States going back to 1776. The reality is you have a huge corporation trying to take away someone's right to quit. Like, is that crazy? That is slavery. Like, let's open the door on that discussion. Go back to 1776 and recognize the fact that this country was formed based on a protest. But what they left out was the fact that you could own your labor. And they thought that that was okay for a long period of time. And the industrialists and the landowners and all the super wealthy at the time just, oh, no, this is okay. It's okay to do that. And you know what? The rules still haven't corrected themselves in America. They have still not worked themselves off of that original foundation from the founding fathers that most people want to prop up. And hey, look, they did some good things. They also did some bad things. And some bad things were that you owned labor. All laws were built around the fact that you could own labor. And that has carried on generation after generation after generation. And you see it reemerging right there. Oh, let's take away someone's right to quit. Are you kidding me? It's crazy.
No, it's crazy. But, you know, I say all the time, they're heading us back to the days of the Lochner era, right, where, you know, if you're desperate enough and hungry enough to work in deplorable conditions for poverty wages, it's your freedom. It's your choice. It's your liberty, Randy. It's up to you. Even though we both know that, what choice do you have in a lot of these? I've been bringing up the fact that, you know, these forced arbitration clauses that people are forced to sign. Did you have a choice? No. If you didn't sign it, you didn't get the job. That's how they got you. These are the new yellow dog contracts of the past.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we can definitely beat this horse, you know, pretty hard over and over again. The reality is until workers take direct action and take control, it's that's where the shift's going to happen. If you look at anything in our history over our 247 years now, and you recognize, you have to recognize the fact that it's only been the movement of people that have marched in the streets or withheld their labor or have, you know, revolted in some way to say, hey, please pay attention to the subject, this issue, this culture, this challenge. That people wake up and go, oh, maybe we'll do something about it. None of this stuff has ever been handed to the American people, like by a group of corporate interests that say, oh, yeah, let's give them a holiday.
Yeah.
No, as a matter of fact, it's always been the opposite. They fought every single holiday along the way, but then they obviously, you know, commercialize every single holiday and try to make a ton of money on every bit of it. And then they don't even want to pay you for it.
No, I mean, the reality is it's the old saying, nothing's been given, everything's been demanded. And you had to fight for all the things that we're given. There are no benevolent dictators. So last line of questioning I've got for you. You know, we're in stations all across the country. There are Amazon facilities all over these places. What's the word to those Amazon workers who are busting their behinds on Prime Day? And you know, for a lot of them, life isn't getting any better. What's the message for them?
Very simple. Put it down collectively. Set it down. And hold up your work for a certain period of time and demand that your supervisor or, you know, whoever's in control of your shop floor or your operation, pay attention to the issues and you, you know, articulate what those issues are. You put those demands clearly forward and you say, hey, we're not going to work until you make the adjustment, until you make the change. Workers are doing this all over the country right now. Amazon doesn't want to talk about it. Corporate America doesn't want to talk about it. The mainstream media is going to be very careful about how they talk about it because they're absolutely controlled by corporate America and they don't want these types of things to look successful even when they are. So what's the message to them? You can win. You can see over and over again where wages have been raised at these Amazon facilities where workers have come together and they've demanded more. You can see that their working conditions have been adjusted and changed and that Amazon has changed the policies specifically written, dealt with a response to workers pushing back. And you can actually take every one of those changes and reach it back to the specific area, whether it was in Minnesota or California or New York or Seattle or Chicago. Wherever those pushes happen from the workers, it changed the nationwide policy for Amazon workers. So they have to believe in themselves and believe in one another that it can happen no matter how much individuals will tell you it can't.
Yeah,
can. And if they have done it. And clearly, we've been a bit spoiled in this generation. If you look back to the 1920s and the 1930s, they had no laws, no protections. There was nothing in this space to help a worker. We may complain and we may not be happy with a lot of way it sits now, and we feel like a lot of this has been eroded, but it is better than it was when those workers, you know, had absolutely nothing, and they had to tear at it. They had to tear at the industry or tear at their elected leaders or whatever they needed to do to gain some momentum. So we have to appreciate that. We have to recognize that. But we also have to not squander and waste the opportunity. Capture it and move to action now. Put the work down.
There you go. Randy, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Keep up the great work. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Anytime, Rick.
Our good friend Randy Corrigan, he is the Secretary, Treasurer, and Principal Officer at Teamsters Local 1932. Teamsters1932.org is the website. Check that out. You got questions, comments, something on your mind for him, you will find him there. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around.
Phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1968. That was the day that the American Indian Movement began at a meeting in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A group of 200 Native Americans gathered together to discuss a response to the U.S. government's history of broken treaties and the devastating consequences on Native peoples. The statistics of unyielding poverty and high unemployment in Native communities were staggering. By 1970, 40% of the Native population lived in poverty. The unemployment rate was 10 times the national average. Life expectancy was only 44 years old. In the early 1970s, activists staged a series of occupations at Alcatraz, Wounded Knee, and at Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore is built on a site in the Black Hills that is sacred to the Ocheti Sakowin, or the Great Sioux Nation. The United States government promised Native rights to the land in a treaty that was broken when gold was discovered. In 1972, activists staged a Trail of Broken Treaties caravan, which ended in a six-day occupation of the Bureau of Indian Affairs offices in Washington, D.C. They issued a statement that read, quote, "We seek a new American majority, a majority that is not content merely to confirm itself by superiority of numbers, but which conscience is committed toward prevailing upon the public will in ceasing wrongs and doing right." Beginning in the 1970s, the United States government began to respond to Native peoples' demands. A series of federal acts gave Native communities more control over their education and improving their health care. Lawsuits brought by tribes resulted in further economic autonomy. Yet by 2014, one in four Native people still lived in poverty.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So here, who didn't see this coming? Evidently, a Michigan hair salon, citing the Supreme Court case that just said, hey, you know what, that website that nobody wanted, you don't have to make it for that gay person you didn't know. But evidently, the hair salon has stated that they're no longer accepting LGBTQ customers. Evidently, the woman who was in charge there called them pedophiles, compared them with animals, said they should be going to pet groomers. We told you, look, here's the thing. I've told you. This isn't about cake. This isn't about websites. This is about power. This is about going after these folks and humiliating them. And look, not my issue, not my thing, but this is where you get my attention, because if it's these folks today, who is it tomorrow? When does it end? I mean, you know, the Pastor Niemöller quote, you know, first they came for the trade unionists and I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I said nothing because I wasn't a Jew. And then they get down the list all the way down to then they came for me and there was nobody left to speak up. This is the kind of stuff that has to be squashed immediately. This is the kind of stuff that the fascistic right wing of this country is just salivating over. To be able to, well, punish the other and get their base all tingly in the panties and all worked up. And it's not just on this issue. There was a story in Nebraska. A woman in Nebraska, a mother pleaded guilty to giving her 17-year-old daughter a pill for an abortion last year. Then helped to dispose of the evidence because it's against the law in Nebraska. Thank you, U.S. Supreme Court. Now you have this woman who's pled guilty. Her daughter is also accused of a crime. They're going to end up in prison because of something that was legal 2 years ago. And, you know, the sad reality is, you know, we're going to see a lot more of this. We're going to see a lot more of these desperate situations of people doing desperate things when we've just got bad public policy. And, you know, I've come back to this story again and again because the idea is it's not just about abortion. These people don't care about children. It's about control. They don't care about people at all. It's about power and control. Because here's the thing. If they really cared, if they really loved the children, if they really wanted the babies, other than for just cheap labor. You know, I still remember Tom DeLay going, you know, if abortion was illegal, we'd have those 40 million workers and we wouldn't need those people from Mexico because we'd have tons of domestically grown cheap labor. But if... Come with me, if you will, on this. Because if our pro-life folks really were pro-life, if they really cared, if they really, really, to their core, their sincerely held religious beliefs, they would have opened that book that they claim that they love so much, and they would have found a guy that they claim to love a lot, talking about feeding the hungry and taking care of the sick and the poor and the downtrodden. You would have seen policy coming out of states to ensure, I don't know, school lunch programs, school breakfast programs. You would see, you know, maybe programs to help, you know, low-income families, you know, get the health care that they need so that they can thrive. Maybe you would see, I don't know, education funding that would help, you know, families do better. Maybe you would see these policies, you know, work themselves out. Maybe you'd see this stuff being proposed. But what do I see? I'm looking at Iowa. I'm looking at Iowa and 15 other states who are trying to destroy child labor laws. We want to go back 100 years. Put the kids back in the mines and in the slaughterhouses. They got small hands, small bodies. They can fit in those tight spaces. It's really quite remarkable of what we've allowed to happen. And it's because the loud minority has continued to push this divisive stuff. Look, are there things that I don't agree with every group? Yeah. But life, liberty, pursuit of happiness is like a central, it's like the North Star. And these people don't believe, well, they do.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at PeaceCorps.gov.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE broadcast.